As with everyone else, I am also struggling with a little bit of sinus, a little bit of frog in the throat. I haven't turned into a toad yet. It's still a frog. But no matter what's going on in our lives, there's always a season for Jesus. Now, obviously, this month we have looked at four chapters each Sunday morning and gleaned from God's holy word, because we walk by faith, not by sight. Faith in God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. There's always, always, always a season for Jesus in our lives. In our world, everybody compares themselves to somebody else. We all love a winner. I don't know, maybe not. I don't know, maybe some of you don't like winners. You root for, you know. I don't want to offend anybody, so I could run right down through the list. We all have our favorites. And we all want to be successful. We do compete in life. We do want to be good at what we've been blessed with. We do want to represent God with our talents. Achieving success in all different avenues of our lives, physically and spiritually, in our careers, in our families, in our neighborhoods, in our communities, our goals of ours. And obviously the disciples had some of those same things. And when they started telling each other how good they were. You know, I see this sometimes at the racetrack. You know, we see it it's more and more prevalent in sports where people are taunting one another. Okay, and that's kind of what I'm thinking here, maybe been, you know, transpired. I'll just use this as an example. Lucas, when we go race against each other, okay? I hope that you're successful. And when we get on the track. But your man's going to beat you. Okay? And you know what? He likes it when he drives by me on the track. First time he ever did that. I wonder if something's matter with my dad. Or whether I'm just getting better. Okay, or a little both. It's hard to say. But that's just an example of us competing with one another. And the disciples were competing, and Jesus said, not so in the kingdom of heaven. He didn't say, don't ever do that. But he did say, when it comes to the kingdom of heaven, it's not so. You're serving one another. The greatest is the servant of all. The greatest is he who recognizes this. I don't know. I've been blessed to work in elementary school the last multiple months, and I'm going to be working there for at least a few more months for sure. And I see precious creations walking up and down that hall. I can be so infuriated with somebody lying to me and not keeping their commitments and not keeping their contract. And I walk through that hall and see 20 little kids walk through. And my heart has changed. Maybe that's why Jesus said, you want your heart to be changed? Stop arguing amongst yourselves. Hug a child. Simple stuff in our lives. When you're angry, you know, I've done it a handful of times in the last couple of weeks, you know, with the little kids. You know, you miss me. Now you can kiss me. You know, when's the last time you embraced and picked up a little kid and just relax? Just relax.
One of the things that Jesus never got too busy for
was loving one another.
Not loving the special people. Not loving who he wanted to. Not loving somebody to get something. Not loving somebody to get somewheres. Love because of peace and joy and obeying the Father. And knowing it's good for the soul. Knowing that it's good for your soul. Jesus calls their hearts into question. Okay? Says you need to be servants. You need to put your priorities right. You need to put me first. And then he says, he keeps helping them focus. Look at the little things. Look at the children. Take time out to smell the roses. And then the disciples say, well, what about those people over there doing that stuff? They're not part of us. Guess what? Same thing happens to us today. Instead of smelling roses and serving other people, we want to point out what somebody else is doing wrong. That's a tool of the devil. Jesus says, let them go. If they're doing good, that's good. If they're doing bad, I'll sort them out. You serve one another and hug the children. What happens when we want to point faults out on other people? But as my daughter said, don't pull the gun out, Dad. Don't, you know. The other, I started doing that. She said, don't do that. Where'd you learn that? It's wonderful things to learn from Jesus. How to put things first. How to not dispute with ourselves. How not to place the blame game or turn the attention to somebody else instead of examining our hearts. It's a little clearer on here, but you get the picture. Shining star. Mark chapter 10, it is written, now as he was going out on the road, one came running, knelt before him, and asked him, good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? So Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and your mother. And Jesus said, and he answered and said to him, teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth. And Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, one thing you lack, go your way. So whatever you have given to the poor, whatever you have, and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me. But he was sad at his word and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard is it for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again and said to them, children, how hard is it for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And they were greatly astonished, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? But Jesus looked at them and said, with men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. Then Peter began to say to him, see, we have left all and followed you. So Jesus answered and said, surely I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake in the Gospels, who shall not receive 100 fold now in this time. Houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. How hard is it? It's unique. Jesus said, you're a class act. You're doing almost everything right. Almost. But there's one thing that's got your heart. And I don't know about you, but I just feel like, you know, money ain't an issue with me. That's not got my heart. That guy has some problems. But if we look at the broader picture and apply it to our lives, what is the one thing in your life that Jesus says can keep you from entering the kingdom of heaven? It may not be money. Because here's what Jesus says. It may not be money. Guess what does he say? He says it could be your father or your mother or your possessions or your money. He lists all kinds of people and things that keep people from Jesus being number one in their heart. And Satan tempts us with that. I'm not here because of this. I'm not there because of this. Does the power of Jesus more important in your life and control you more than the power of your husband, your wife, your children, your boss, your money, drugs, alcohol, cigarettes, internet, your phone? Jesus still pleads with us today to come and take up the cross and follow me. We're tempted every day to be able to do that in our lives. Mark chapter 11, it is written, "Now the next day when they had come out from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. In response, Jesus said to it, 'Let no one eat fruit from you ever again.' And his disciples heard it. Now in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering it, said to him, 'Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away.' So Jesus answered and said to them, 'Have faith in God. For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt it in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. And whenever you stand praying, if you pray anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses." I think it's unique in this story where Jesus says, obviously talking about Jesus, it says, "For it was not the season for figs." Well, Jesus, why would you ask for figs if it's not the season for figs? I'm thinking to myself, but if a tree has branches that's tied, and it does produce fruit. Do we take upon our lives, it's not a time for me to share Jesus. It's not a time for me to be fruitful. It's not a season for me to share Jesus. Part of our lesson title is Season for Jesus. Brothers and sisters and friends, there's always a time for Jesus in our lives. And you notice that Jesus says, have faith in God. First and foremost. Look at the tree. Look at the tree that's not producing fruit. Look at something else instead of examining our own hearts. And Jesus said, have faith in God. And then he starts talking about if you have faith in God, and if you pray, we talked about that. We saw these things this morning in the Bible class. And then the first thing that thinks in my mind, okay, boy, I can pray for this, and I can pray for that, and I can pray for this, and I can pray for that. And then Jesus keeps going. Talks about moving mountains to be cast into the sea and doubt in your heart. And as you look at the power to move mountains in your life, how many of us want power to be able to move mountains in our lives? Just me? You betcha. You betcha. But what does Jesus say it takes? He talks about amazing power. And then what does he turn to? Forgiveness. What kind of power did it take for God to sacrifice his only son? To cleanse us from our sins. The power of forgiveness. We have the power to move mountains because we have the power to forgive. I still have to forgive daily. People offend me, whether they mean it or not. I still have to plead for forgiveness because I offend people daily, whether I mean to or not. The power of the cross, that's one of the reasons why I use this picture. And then with this passage of Scripture. There's always a season to forgive. Season for Jesus. And the scary truth of it is, if you do not learn how to use that power in your life, you're lost. We are lost. Because without forgiveness of God, we're not going to be able to see Him face to face. Embrace forgiveness in your life. Part of the season for Jesus every day in our lives is to be able to forgive. Forgive your loved one, your spouse. Forgive your children, your parents. Forgive your boss, your teacher, your neighbor, the stranger that never learned how to drive right. Pray for them. Who do you pray for when you run down the prayers of your life? Do you pray for your brothers and sisters in Christ? Your brothers and sisters in blood? Your strangers, your neighbors, your boss? The politicians and lawyers? The stranger that doesn't seem to learn how to drive right? Or is much more important than you the way they drive? Pray for them. Forgive them. Have power over evil in our lives. Mark chapter 12, it is written, then some Sadducees who say there is no resurrection came to him and asked him, saying, Teacher, Moses wrote to us that if a man's brother dies and leaves his wife behind and leaves no children, his brother should take his wife and raise up offspring for his brother. Now there are seven brothers. The first took a wife and dying and left no offspring, and the second took her and he died, nor did he leave any offspring, and the third likewise. So the seven had her and no offspring. Last of all, the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, when they rise, whose wife will she be? For all seven had her as wife. Once again, faithful Sadducees, okay, people of God, came to Jesus asking some questions. Nothing wrong with that. But boy, did they ask some questions. Okay? Deep questions. Jesus answered their deep questions and their concerns with this. Are you not therefore mistaken? Because you do not know the scriptures nor the power of God. For when they rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are they given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven. But concerning the dead that they rise, have you not read in the book of Moses, in the burning bush passage, how God spoke to him saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. You are therefore greatly mistaken. I plead with us this morning not to be greatly mistaken. I plead with us to recognize he is the God of the living. Not of the dead. And I plead with us not to worry about what happens to some people. Let's not be like the Sadducees. What about this? What about this? What about this? There's a lot of people that base their faith on what abouts and what ifs. And I have family members and loved ones and friends that are perished because they didn't follow Jesus. But I will not be greatly mistaken and follow down that same path because they didn't choose to follow Jesus. Because he's the way, the truth, and the life. He died for our sins. He loves us more than any of those people that perished without him could love us. Let us not be mistaken. He is the God of the living, not the God of the dead. It is a season for Jesus in our lives every day. And in Mark chapter 12, our last passage this morning, is written, then one of the scribes came and having heard them reasoning together, perceived that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? Jesus answered him, the first of all commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like it. It is this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. So the scribe said to him, well said, teacher. You have spoken the truth. For there is one God, and there is no other but he. And to love him with all the heart, with all the understanding, with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself is more than all the burnt offerings, whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. Now when Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. But after that, no one dared to question him. I ask us this morning, are we not far from the kingdom of God? As I read this passage this morning, I struggle with loving God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my heart, with all my mind, with all my strength. there's times that I get in front of those things with selfishness. And I repent. And I remember Jesus. And I need to remember, and we need to remember, to love our neighbors as ourselves. Very first passage we read this morning was about the disciples trying to determine who is most important. The greatness of the love of God and the coming of Jesus. Jesus taught the world that we are all important. The numbers of our hair, of our heads are measured. God loves us. He cares about us. His grace and mercy and love and forgiveness is available to all. The season for Jesus this morning, if anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all. And obviously, all these are words of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. With men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. Have faith in God. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. Are you not therefore mistaken, because you do not know the scriptures nor the power of God? He is not the God of the dead, but of the living. You are therefore greatly mistaken. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. You're not far from the kingdom of God. If you haven't committed your life to Christ and become part of the kingdom of God, we plead with you to do that this morning. If there's something in your heart you need to make right with God, we plead that you do that this morning as well, as we stand and sing the selected poem.